Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And if it is the first Tuesday of the month from 2 to 3, it is The Bottom Line starring Mitchell Spean. Hey, Mitch, how are you?
Doing fine. Happy New Month.
Happy New Month. I thought you were going to say Happy New Year.
No, we're not. It's not a fiscal year, so we'll have to do
that's
a new
right.
month.
That's right. And because it was short month in February, the new month came quicker this time.
Boy, did it.
I like leap year.
Well, yeah, that gives you one extra day.
But I know.
Because of tax season and everything that goes on with that, and the fact that we've got deadlines coming up in a couple of weeks, it kind of pushes everything a little bit.
And we had a deadline yesterday. If you did paper 1096s and W-3s. But you are sophisticated. You do it electronically, so you get extra time.
I get an extra month.
Yeah.
I get to file all those by the 31st of this month instead.
That's right. We're in the middle of tax season. I'm a CPA. You're a CPA. Mitch, what are you doing here? You should be doing taxes.
I'm going to be at the office late.
Yeah, that's right. You got the cot set up already, and the nurse is ready.
Exactly.
Really? How many? I'm coming over too. Okay, we got some great in-studio guests today, and I was looking at their website. It's phenomenal. I mean, it's really... you know, it's great to see great consultants, advisors, information. People need not just information, but very good information. And that's what it takes to streamline your business, to make more profits. And, of course, the bottom line, right, Mitch, is all about that. It's not just about increasing sales. It's not just about cost structure. It's about the good mix between sales, cost structure, efficiency, actually, and the mindset, too.
And life.
And who?
And life.
I thought you said wife. I go, what's up with that?
No.
Okay.
Nothing.
So, but you're right. And it really is a balance of all three at a sophisticated level. I like to call it, with breakthrough thinking, is best practices combined with the power of the unconscious mind. What do you think of that, Mitch?
I think that's awesome.
Yeah. And that's what breakthrough thinking is.
You ought to make a poster of that one.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We could be the poster child. And that's our own producer, Kurt. Let's give yourself a hand. Here he goes. And as well, it wasn't quite a hand. It sounded like a laugh. What is this, laughing? Okay. But it was good anyway. So do you want to introduce your two mystery guests?
Well, they're not mystery. These are the Hogans. They are, I've known them now for about a year.
Yes.
And they do a couple of different websites, but the main one is hospitalityeducators.com. And it's their way of getting information out and being able to be good advisors to the hospitality industry.
And let's welcome John and Kathleen Hogan.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
For having us.
That sort of sounded like a game show, like, you know, what's my line or something. So John and Kathleen, impressive. Both of you have impressive resumes. Why don't you describe a little bit about your background, and then we'll talk about what this website does, because it's just full of incredible information. So who wants to go first? Kathleen, ladies first.
Well, thank you. My background is actually banking and finance, although my master thesis and focus in my master's program was on human resources management. So I am in the people business.
Which is very important. A lot of companies have HR departments, especially the bigger ones, and some of the smaller ones don't have a clue. And how important is that, do you think?
Any business involves people, so your people skills are critical to the success of your business.
There is no question about it. And in the hotel business, hospitality business, when it's all about service, and it better be good, or else that hotel's going south. Am I right, John?
Oh, absolutely. And first of all, thank you very much for having us. We're delighted to be here. I've been in the industry since I was a teenager. I started at a family resort up in New England. And in my career, this is my fourth basic main chapter. I spent a dozen years or so after I graduated from hotel school in Massachusetts working for a number of major hotel brands and companies. I spent about another dozen years and with my own consulting firm doing a lot of training, a lot of asset management, a lot of consulting, and working with a lot of one-on-one hotels. And then overlapping that for 20 years, I've always been very much interested in learning and sharing and helping other people. And so I taught college for 20 years as an adjunct professor at three different places, which was very interesting because every time I would teach a class, I would always learn something from the students, because the students have, over the last 20 years, have dramatically changed, and they're not just seniors or not just 18-year-olds graduating right from high school. And so blending all of their experiences together was great fun. And then about 10 years ago, I was recruited to Phoenix to join the world's largest hotel company as their head of their director of education and training. And that gave me a wonderful opportunity to work with several thousand hoteliers and several thousand hotels in creating a brand new structure that had a lot of blended learning. I did that for 8 years. And then about over the last 3 years, we have evolved into what we're talking about today a little bit. Some continued consulting, but a lot of it from within the structure of hospitalityeducators.com.
So it's really this website, hospitalityeducators.com, is a wealth and accumulation of all your knowledge and wisdom from day one, since you were a teenager working at the hotels.
Well, it is, but it's not just mine or just Kathleen's. The whole notion behind the name of it, hospitalityeducators.com, was to try to figure out how we could expand networks and information and share as much knowledge as possible, do it in an affordable way. The world has obviously changed so much in terms of how information is communicated. Online is very important, but the high touch of the face-to-face that we see right now, seeing if a message was communicated or not, is so important. Yet the cost of doing things online and with the next generation, they like very much to have things faster and delivered in a different way. And so we look to try to figure out the ways to do that. The whole notion behind Hospitality Educators is we had a group of six of us, of which we were a combination of either traditional university professors or corporate educators, or some of us have blends of both. And what we did is we create we have the wealth and information from initially that the six of us, and as we have gone through, we've been able to add information and resources from other people as well.
And it's specifically to the hospitality industry.
It is. The hospitality industry itself is huge, and we'll talk about that in a minute, about the size of it. But we've tried to focus more on the operational managers, the people who run hotels and restaurants, who are in the day-to-day front line, who facing the service issues that you were talking about before. If you don't deliver it today, they'll go down the street, because there's always a choice. There's always somebody else who's trying to steal your business.
You know, and I'm thinking that even if you're not in the hotel or restaurant industry, I'm going to guess that your website would be valuable for other businesses, cross over with best practices. Am I right?
Absolutely. We have professional development as one of the features on our website. And I must say that the birthing of this website was a process that came about as the result of the economy being sluggish, trying to get those consulting assignments, get those speaking engagements, as budgets retracted and departments were even dismantled with the change in the economy and everybody tightening their fiscal belts. We had to find a different way to get those assignments, to become an active player in the hospitality industry, bring in a stream of income to us, and the internet was just the natural way to go. We recognized that John needed to have a website profile, and then in researching the other websites that were out there, we saw things that were attractive to us, things that we wanted to have on our site, things we did not want to have on our website. We tried to pick the best of what we were seeing. And we recognize that this niche that John just talked about, catering to the operational managers of hotels and restaurants, was perfect, a perfect fit, a perfect platform to set our direction and get out there and have a presence
you know, it's very creative of both of you to do this because it's a cost-effective way, what I'm hearing, of consulting.
Yes.
In a down economy. And, of course, if you think about it, with the economy the way it has been, I suspect hotels get hit very hard first and probably restaurants second or maybe tied for first.
I think they're both pretty tied as far as it depends on where you are in the country. When we hit the proverbial fan back in 2008 when there was so much negativity about waste, a lot of the hotels here in Phoenix got tremendously hit, the resorts and whatnot, because people thought it was negative or you shouldn't go stay at resorts. Well, that's obviously not they're not the fault. They're not a negative thing. They fill a business need. They wouldn't have been built or wouldn't have been created and whatnot. So this is a great way to be able to try to reach as many people as possible.
No doubt about it. I think it's a great service, and I suspect at a very affordable price to be able to gain the wisdom and wealth of knowledge that you both have, as well as some of the other people on your site. Let me ask you a couple things to get the listeners really involved. Is what would be, through your experience, the most needed training that a restaurant and hotel would need typically? Now, I know it's probably depending on the hotel, but what have you seen as the most common of the areas that might have weaknesses that you could come in or at least your information could help with?
Well, certainly there's always the talent management issue, especially in a very competitive, scrambling economy, to stay alive, to survive, and to succeed. Whoever you have trained that's on your staff, you want to be sure you keep them. So you have to make them feel that they are very much a part of the whole vision for the hotel, that they are team players, that their ideas are heard, that they have input that is valued, and you want that team to work cohesively so that you're going to achieve your goals.
That makes sense. So that's, I was going to say, the people part.
Absolutely.
That's what you're really talking about, John.
I've worked in hotels from about 100 rooms to up to 1,500 rooms, and the two other areas, in addition to what Kathleen just said, one would be sales and marketing. If no matter how good your product is, no matter how good your service is, and this is what you're asking about other businesses, if you don't actually have a plan that includes all of the multi dimensions of sales and marketing, you're probably not going to survive. And in this day and age of instant information from TripAdvisor and all of the social media, you must have a balanced presence. It can't be in any one thing. And so that's a critical piece. And the other thing is understanding accounting and finance. There's a very small portion of the staff or of individuals who are dishonest. It's in single digits. But the challenge, what I learned as a consultant, even more so than I did, I think, as a manager, was I could look at an income statement and I could tell you if somebody was stealing. Not that I'm so brilliant, it's just that there are certain key things that become obvious when you start understanding how a financial statement should read, what the numbers should approximately be in range, whether it's high demand or lower demand. And so those three things, people, sales and marketing, and understanding where the money is.
So what you're talking about, financial key indicators, and that, do you train in that too, is to tell people and teach people, here's some really key indicators that to look for on a financial statement?
Oh, absolutely. We do that. Some of it's on our site, and we have a number of different things both in the store and in the general information data piles. But we also do – I've done that over the years, and it's actually kind of fun trying to make an accounting statement, which is not typically a highlight or a high-life activity, trying to help people go through. And when you get people involved in group discussions and you – tell them what to look for, and it becomes a competition a little bit among groups. It's like playing a game, and it becomes fun. And then when they take it back to their own business, they start understanding it and remembering it. It's a good way to do.
You know, that's a really good point. Mitch, you probably have seen that with various clients. It's not just about reading a financial statement. It's really understanding behind the lines.
Well, it's like I've always said with this kind of thing. It's giving the information that the person using the financials can use to make better decisions. And so it's a tool. It's not just a set of numbers. It's a tool to make better decisions. And understanding what you have is key to it. And that's always been my goal, is to make sure they understand. And and that's what John is saying as well.
And what you're both saying is really timely and better decisions. And maybe that's by definition, a better decision is when it's timely.
Absolutely.
And that's where a lot of CPAs may not really understand, or they don't bother doing, is they're just recording historical data. That's not the key. That's not the key to success at all. You got to look forward and say, okay, here is a snapshot. How do we improve? What's the projection? It's a bunch of different things. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with John and Kathleen Hogan from hospitalityeducators.com. Get on the website right now and take a look at that, and we'll be right back.
At Beer and Bomb and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And this is The Bottom Line. And when I say The Bottom Line, I mean The Bottom Line with Mitchell Spean. Do you like me calling you Mitchell or Mitch?
Yes.
Okay. How about just, hey, Spean? No.
That
remember,
works too.
That was in when we were in middle school and they, you know, in PE or something, they go, hey, Spean, get over here, right?
Yeah.
Or they'd say, hey, Isaac, get over here. And usually it'd be the last one called when they picked teams. Remember those days?
I was usually picked first.
Oh,
or second.
You're lucky. See? That was good. How about you, John?
I'm not going to comment.
Okay. We were both fighting for last place, I bet. Anyway, this is great because, like I said, and you both said, this can cross over to many different businesses because good sales and good marketing is good sales and good marketing. And I wanted to elaborate a little bit more on what makes great business. And, of course, talent. You said management talent. That's very important. Sales and marketing, John, you mentioned that. A pet peeve I have, you know, I've been a CPA for 30 years, and I don't think clients get it totally about what the difference between sales and marketing really is. They think they're marketing when they're doing sales, and they think they're doing sales when they're not really doing anything. So tell us, from your perspective, what is the difference, and Kathleen too, if you want, but or John, what is the difference between sales and marketing?
There are a number of distinction and distinct activities. Sales is a lot of the one-on-one personal interaction. It can happen at a trade show. It can happen on a sales call. It can be a telephone, something that you're reaching out and trying to communicate, trying to make a sale, trying to fill a need that the customer has. But marketing includes publicity. It includes public relations. It includes things like trade shows. It includes things that are goodwill. It includes advertising. Today, it includes social media. And it's in every. It has to really be included in a total marketing plan. The challenge that hotels, restaurants, and many other businesses have is what kind of what you said, is they think they're doing one because they belong to a brand and they pay a percentage of their sales to advertising, so therefore they think they've done enough. Well, if you're a hotel in Phoenix and it's a national advertising for Brand Blue, you may or may not get any direct benefit in your market, and yet you need to know where your customers come from. And so part of the sales and marketing activity ends up being including research as you go through and build it all. So it's a complex program. We try to talk about it in a lot of different ways on our site. And one thing that we do on the site, we have lots of best practices, we have lots of forms, but we also have articles and columns that we have a number of guest columnists and contributors on, who are not part of our original six, but who have found value in the site, and they're literally coming to us now globally and offering their ideas and items. And we literally, about 25% of the site is available to anybody anytime, and the balance of it is somewhat restricted to membership, but the cost ends up being so low that we know that's not a negative on anybody's part, and so people are very responding to it very positively.
And high value. I mean, the information is so important. And to realize that to really succeed, you have to admit to yourself that there's a lot of things maybe they don't know. And they have to play what I call in the third level of thinking. Now, have you heard of neuro-linguistic programming?
Yes.
All right. This is great. And, of course, Mitch has, because I tell him every day about this stuff. I'm a certified master practitioner, and that's what breakthrough thinking is, combining best business practices with the mindset. And I think it's really important distinction where people think more information is always better. Now, with the Internet, you can get almost anything anytime. It's like instant coffee. Information is powerful. But if you have a belief that you're not capable or you don't deserve it, guess what? More information is not going to help. Kathleen?
We exist because of belief. Belief, yeah, in the vision, the potential, confidence that we are the ones to do it. If you do not believe, I don't care what business you're in or no business at all, if you do not believe, your life is not going to manifest what you want.
Totally agree. John?
Oh, same thing, which I thought she might say. She just wrote on one of her blogs, you know, I don't know what I don't know. It's a question, and that's her quote, but there's a wealth of information, but there's also an overload of information on the Internet. You put in a term on a Google search, and you'll come up in 10 seconds, you'll come up with 25,000 hits that have some piece of whatever those three or four words you have in there. You can't possibly use most of that information. So it's a matter of selectively zeroing in on what's important. And what we both feel very strongly is, again, you do have to have that belief that you want to succeed. And what we try to do on the site and what we try to do in our business is to try to help people to understand why reading a financial statement is important and what's important to look at it, how to do their advertising, how they should in fact communicate with their staff or choose their staff and all of that kind of thing. And we try to tie it all together very much along the lines of what you just introduced. So.
You know, what's interesting, and Kathleen being the people, HR person, well, I think you're both people, I should say. However, that's what you focus on. You know, what's interesting about a belief, it's sort of a disguise because the belief will manifest outside, and people really look at the outside as proof to what they're capable of, what they're not capable of, what's happening. But I bet you believe, like I do, it's an inside-outside job. And if they viewed it as they are the projector, the film, the director, the editor, the producer, projecting outward, that's really their feedback of how they're thinking inside. Am I right?
That's correct. If you're looking at the clouds going by in the sky and not realizing that you're the sky.
Yeah, exactly.
That changes everything.
Yeah, and that's the issue I've seen. Do you see that also with consulting jobs, that sometimes it's challenging to get people to get out of their own way?
Always.
Yeah.
I'm in my way all the time. I have to break through that. I have to use the clearing techniques so that I can then be my own best teacher instead of, you know, someone who's going to hold me back.
The new wave of consulting success is going to come not from somebody just going in and telling you what was right or wrong or use this form or don't use that practice. It's going to be somebody that goes through and is given the opportunity and trust to interact with the select and the critical members of the team. You go through and you look at the downfall of General Motors, or you look at any big company that's gone down in the last 10 years, the problem was you had a structure that did not look at the problems. It just looked at one element of it, and it ended up being that the pricing got way out of whack, the product ended up being unsatisfactory or poor, and so it went to the competition. That happens in hotels, it happens in cars, I imagine it happens in radio stations and in communication, and it happens in accounting, or CPA, or any kind of services.
Oh, absolutely. When you're dealing with people, you're dealing with expectations. And it's the biggest hurdle that I've had to deal with is the expectations that a client has of what is it that I'm getting, where's the value. As we've said many times on the show, you know, it's not necessarily the cost, but the value you're getting that you have to consider. And it happens all the time, and I'm sure you see that with all the things that you're doing as well.
You know, I'll go ahead, Kathleen.
Especially when you're building a business, it's not about the money in the beginning. I mean, you really have limited cash flow when you're first starting out. So it has to be all about the process. It has to be about the vision and the planned hope that you have for bringing it into fruition. It's not, the money is a byproduct. The success comes from the process, from the creating, from the building, from reaching those benchmarks. It's not about the money. Money is needed.
There's no doubt. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with John and Kathleen Hogan from HospitalityEducators.com. And I think we're going to ask a question about something Mitch just said, cost versus value, and How do you know when you're thinking cost versus value first? That's a human condition. We'll be right back.
Arizona Station, 1010 KXXT. On the web at familyvaluesradio.net.
Are you living a healthy life? Are you in constant pain? Do you suffer from the top five life-threatening diseases? Heart disease, arthritis, high cholesterol, diabetes? There is a solution. Today, there is finally an answer to your prayers. BioVaccin can nourish and oxygenate your cells, reduce the aging process, rebuild and nourish your bones, cleanse and eliminate the toxins from your body, help rid you of your pain once and for all. Call 800-288-1961. Again, the number is 800-288-1961. The unique BioVaccin is the only product on the market to contain over 200 nutrients. One dose includes all of your natural A to Z vitamins in their proper amounts, including over 1,200 milligrams of calcium. Your life-changing fruits, which have been known as the secret to living over 100 years of age throughout China, all have powerful antioxidant healing properties. One of the most phenomenal ingredients found, the Achaia berry, which helps to lower cholesterol levels. The Noni helps to cleanse the body's toxins. The Goji helps to reduce blood glucose and destroy cancer cells. The Wolfberry helps to promote healthy eyesight and prevent macular degeneration. The pomegranate, known to fight cancer and aging, and the popular resveratrol, which helps to prevent cell damage. Minerals from over 40 plant sources, sea vegetation, all of your essential amino acids, all of your essential fatty acids, over 20 homeostatic probiotics helping to restore your intestinal and colon health, and all of your digestive enzymes. It does not matter what your health issue is, BioVaccin is for everyone. It has miraculously impacted so many lives with less pain, better sleep, improved breathing, increased energy levels, and super improved vision. The proof is in the liquid absorption rate. What happens when you feed your plant? It grows. What happens when you feed your body BioVaccin? Your body breathes better. You have more flexibility and your health grows from the inside to the outside the first time you drink your first dose. The nutrition values in the BioVaccin is all you'll ever need. With one simple dose, your test will pass with flying colors. Call now for your free bottle when you get two. Don't settle for anything less. Call 800-288-1961. That number again is 800-288-1961.
1010 KXXT.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is The Bottom Line with Mitch Spean. I called you Mitch this time.
That works.
Yeah, see? He'll answer to Mitchell, Mitch, and I think other things, but I don't know what they are. Anyway, we're here in studio with John and Kathleen Hogan from HospitalityEducators.com. As I was saying that, I almost said we're here with Hogan's Heroes, but I don't know why where that came from. Remember that show?
You're showing your age.
No comment.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah, that was a long time.
It's
right?
Still on reruns, too.
Yeah. It was sort of a funny show, I believe. Anyway, we were talking off the air about competition level. I mean, everyone has a standard, at least unconsciously, who they compete with. Now, I think this is a good exercise for people to ask themselves, who really am I competing with from a sophisticated, knowledge-based, mindset-based standard? And Kathleen, why don't you share the story a little bit on the student internship and the college back east?
Well, while we were on break, we were talking about the need for every business to constantly be renewing itself so that it has a purpose for existing in the first place. And for our website, hospitalityeducators.com, we realized that it was very important for us to bring the students, not wait till they're already out there working, but they're still aspiring, they're impressionable. We want to bring the students in, and we want the rising professionals, the ones who are, you know, all about the dreams of where they want to take their careers. We want to bring them into the website. We want this website to focus for the next generation, because in that is our longevity.
So you're saying you can't teach old dog new tricks?
Sure you can. Sure you can.
I'm just kidding.
Look at us.
Yeah. But no, I agree with you. If you can catch early, you know, when they're fresh, they're hungry, you're really setting the foundation for future generations. And obviously, you can teach old dog new tricks, I believe. And just out of more awareness, more information, and you always like the light bulb going on when you see a certain manager, owner saying, wow, I never knew that.
The most successful learning is always going to be blended learning anyway, because I may be a visual learner, he may be the opposite to me. John, are you?
It depends.
Hey, that's my line.
That's right. As a CPA, you always say, it depends. So, you know, I think that's very valuable. You know, what I'm hearing now, what I really like is that it appears this website, and especially John and Kathleen, it's not just about content. There's a large degree of mindset within the success quotient. Tell us about that.
Well, we have, if you look at the site, you'll see that there's lots of messages, not subliminal, very open and direct, that talk about best practices, talk about looking at optional ways to do things. You know, a hotel that is a five-star resort does not compete with the B&B down the street, or does not compete with the roadside property that serves truckers. They're all needed. They all have their own little niche. What we try to do very much with both the guest columnists and the contributors that are offering us material, what we do in our own writing, which is substantial, is we offer people different options, different ideas, and we try to encourage them to be open-minded, to think a little bit differently than what they worked at before. For example, I think today we have on the site right now, there's something that's called Shift Happens. And it came from YouTube, and it was created about 5 years ago, and it talks about the dramatic changes and how many jobs people are likely to have. A 20-year-old today, by the time they hit 38, will probably have something like 14 different jobs. So we have to go through and understand that we can learn from ourselves. We shouldn't just look at one approach or one school or one company, because there's so much more that we can grow within ourselves, and that's what our success is being built on, and where we sincerely, the success of our site is coming from that as well.
So what you're talking about, it's very important to develop qualities such as flexibility, embracing change, and also thinking outside the box. These are key components to not just surviving, but I like to say flourishing in the new economy.
Absolutely. Critical thinking is a must. And oftentimes I think that has been forgotten. People do things by rote. They do it that way because it was always done that way. They don't question, is this true that this should be done this way? Is this the most effective? Is this the only way to do it? There can be any number of strategies that can be applied. Which one works best is the one that you try, discover that, and continue to use until it doesn't anymore.
I like that. So at least you explore it and not give up too soon.
Absolutely.
And that's very important. I like to say things to clients like, where do you set your goals? Do you set them within your comfort zone? Do you set them outside your comfort zone, way above? Comment on that.
I think your goals need to be set higher than you ever dreamed. I have a little wooden block figurine on my roll-top desktop, and it says, shoot for the moon, and you'll land among the stars. And that's exactly what you have to do with your life goals, your professional goals, your business goals. Absolutely. Shoot high. Think bigger than you ever thought before, because in the stretch to reach for that, you're going to go a lot further than you ever imagined.
A challenge a lot of hotel companies, restaurant companies, and other businesses, I think as well, probably, they go through, you make your annual budget, and if you're working for a big company, you learn how to play the game. So, okay, you take last year's sales and you add 6% or 7% or whatever the number is, and you think you can probably make 8, but you put 7 because you know they're going to come back with 11 or whatever the number is. And so you get back and play the game back and forth. And so, so many years, so many companies have kind of fooled themselves, and they have a lot of turnover, they have a lot of frustration, and they fall far short of their success. If you look at companies like the Kimpton Hotels out of San Francisco, if you look at Hyatt and Marriott, two different, very structured companies. Hyatt's very decentralized and smaller. Marriott's much larger, more franchises, but very centralized. They each are much more honest and open than a lot of the other brands that are out there because they share a lot of information, lots of ideas, and they encourage creativity within guidelines. But to go through and to what Kathleen was saying, reach higher, and then you'll end up succeeding more. And by the way, those companies are probably at the very top of the success file.
Yeah. Now, that kind of, I want to bring it back a little bit to, we've been talking about mostly management. But I believe that a lot of businesses rely on those that do the grunt work or the bottom line workers. And you've got to be able to disseminate it and make them believe it and work towards that. What are some of the things that you would recommend in order to be able to do something like that?
Early on, we were talking about the financial statement, the income statement. From that, you are given a guideline for what to measure so that when the next income statement comes out, the next financial statement, you have some benchmark, something to compare what you have done since then to the last time round. If you set those measurements, they're communicated, everybody knows clearly what we're working for, and they understand why, then those people who are left to do the line level, the grunt work, if you will, they're doing it with purpose, and they're doing it with understanding. And I think it's wrong for, no matter whether you're horizontal or vertical in your structure, as far as leadership, I think it's wrong to defer responsibility to somebody else, especially in the hospitality business. Everybody needs to be selling the experience of the hotel. Yes, the brass tacks are you're renting rooms, but you're also creating an experience that triggers memories, that triggers feelings of emotional attachment to wanting to come back to your hotel. So it takes everybody on that staff to deliver that, because you do not know who the first person is going to be that guest has an encounter with. You might think it's going to be your front desk, but it may not be. So everybody has to be selling. So coming back to what you were saying as far as delegating, everybody top down, side to side, needs to understand what we're doing, what we're measuring, what we want to achieve, and let's all work together.
You know, that totally makes sense. John, go ahead.
Let me share a quick story. I was doing a training program for a Convention and Visitors Bureau called HOST, And we would go out and we would conduct kind of some feel-good programs for the different hotels, restaurants, attractions that were in the area. I was invited one time to a Holiday Inn, a suburban property in the southeastern part of the country, and they had their monthly employee luncheon, associate luncheon. And everybody came in. It was nice. And all the managers served all the hourly staff. And that was all very nice. And the general manager, I was sitting next to him, he said, "Watch this." And he pulls in his, goes to his wallet. And everybody starts looking because they can see. They know he gives money away. So he gets up, stands up, and he says, "Watch this." He says, "Well, thank you all for coming. And I'm going to introduce John Hogan in just a moment. He's going to talk about whatever he's going to talk about. But," he said, "first I want to ask a question." He says, "Who can tell me the mission statement of this hotel?" Which is posted in bronze by the front door. And it's a very simple mission statement. We're here to basically serve our customers, to take good care of our associates, and to return a profit to our shareholders. Something, it said it a little more fluently, but that's what the bottom line was. Half a dozen people raise their hands. He points to one young 30-year-old woman who stands up. And it turns out she's a legal immigrant from Russia. She gets up, and in very struggling English, she says it probably 90% of the words, word for word, of what the mission statement is. And she got the $50 bill. The nice story about it was not that she got the $50 bill. It was the standing ovation she got from the other 75 people in that room who understood we are all in this together. Your point about the grunt work. We all do grunt work. We all have to do some of the good, bad, and the ugly type of situation. And of that story always resonates, a sense of success. It was not the $50, which is long gone, but it was that round of applause that made that young lady just feel like a top of the world.
And in the same analogy, I mean, that's the experience that whole group received, just as at a hotel or restaurant experience. That's what people remember. And they're going to, you want them to feel good. In fact, great, I would say.
I will be willing to bet that the people who stood and gave her the round of applause took to heart the mission statement anew. And the enthusiasm and goodwill that they had among themselves, they carried back to the workplace in doing their day-to-day grunt work.
You know, it's interesting about a mission statement. I do a lot of strategic planning, and one of my CPA firms in Century City that we built in the 80s, when we did the mission statement, it wasn't just a bunch of words like so many businesses do. I asked each partner and each manager and anyone that participated, you know, the CPAs involved, what does this mean to you? And can you really, how are you going to demonstrate these words? How are you going to apply it? And what experiences do you want to create? So it becomes more than a word, a series of words. It becomes a demonstrable type of experience. And is that what the point you're trying to get across?
Absolutely. Look at what Disney has been able to achieve. There is an expectation. The people who go and work for Disney World, they're not employees. They're characters.
Yeah.
They're part of the whole fantasy. They are part. They have to live, breathe, feel it in order to deliver it. So that's a good example of what we should all be trying to do within our brand, within our mission. We need to be doing that. It's building an image, building an experience. And we happen to be talking about hospitality, but it applies everywhere.
Absolutely everywhere. There's no question. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with John and Kathleen Hogan, not from Hogan's Hogan's, but John and Kathleen nevertheless. And from hospitalityeducators.com, that's hospitalityeducators.com. Get onto that website, take a look. It's really interesting, great information. And we'll be right back after this break.
Is it important for you to develop a financial plan without the potential conflict associated with commission sales? As a fee-only financial planner, I am paid by you and only you, my client. I'm not compensated in any way by the recommendations I provide. Have you heard the phrase, people do not plan to fail, they fail to plan? My experience has shown that this is too often true when considering one's financial future. If you're ready to take action, call me, Bob Berger, Certified Financial Planner and Certified Divorce Financial Analyst, directly at 602-235-0336. We'll discuss your financial situation and review some small or perhaps large changes that will help you obtain the financial future you desire. Don't let the lack of a plan affect your family's financial future. Call me, Bob Berger, at 602-235-0336 for a free consultation. Again, Bob Berger, Certified Financial Planner, 602-235-0336.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is The Bottom Line starring Mitch Spain. Do you like how I say that, Mitch?
Yeah, I do.
It's like Howard Cosell. Remember Howard Cosell?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he was pretty good, wasn't he?
I miss his voice.
Yeah, with Muhammad Ali, the interviews, and
he was just a character. He was a personality. I'm not sure I would say character.
But absolutely a personality. Yeah, he was very, very talented, no question. So we are here with John and Kathleen Hogan from HospitalityEducators.com. That's HospitalityEducators.com. And we've been talking about a lot of different things, best practices, mindset, which is critical. Now, on the last break, we were talking about all sorts of things that involve the mindset, really awareness. I would call it, you know, how are people's awareness. There's a concept I like to talk about with clients and get your take on this, is a concept of fixed goals and variable means versus variable goals with fixed means. I find most people have variable goals with fixed means, simply meaning they have one or two ways of getting their goal, and when they don't do it, they lower their goal. Versus fixing that goal and fixing it high and finding many ways to achieve it, don't stop, increase your, what they call an NLP, behavioral flexibility. Comment on that.
Change is part of living. Everything that we do is going to morph over time. It's going to evolve. We're going to have to adapt. It could be the economy. It could be the job market that we're looking at specifically. However, you need to set your goals, you need to set them high, and then you have to scramble. You have to be constantly searching, checking, where are we, what are we doing, maybe there's something we can do be doing better. You need to ask for feedback. We did, and it helped us with identifying through the eyes of uncommitted person. And I'm not talking insane asylum. I hope our site doesn't drive anybody crazy.
No, that's a great site.
But they were very objective is what I'm trying to say. And they gave us our input, what they liked, what they didn't like, what they wished that we had more of. And we took it to heart, and we implemented some of it right away. But it still was not doing and performing the way we wanted it to. We are now in a period of change. Our website is going to be looking different in within a few weeks' time. We are broadening the net of casting our net to broaden the traffic that can come to our site, and we're doing that. We now are on Facebook. We're using all of the social networks to try and get as many people to know about us. Those who do know about us, come back. But if you don't know that we're there...
There's no doubt. I mean, exposure is so important to know that you exist. And that's sort of getting back to the marketing thing, because I'd like to make a comment about that. And John, you said it very well, defining and outlining the differences between sales and marketing, which is so important in any business. Positioning and really knowing your audience. And a lot of have you seen people go for the wrong audience? They're just totally off base. Tell us about that.
Oh, obviously you can. I've been in this industry. Well, we're all baby boomers here, and I've been in this industry now since the 1970s. I have seen four major economic crunches in our lifetime, as we all have. We had in the 70s with the gas crunch and the terrible inflation. We had the savings and loan crunch, that terrible thing that happened in 1987 or 88, which was a predecessor to what happened in 2008 when the banks went crazy with their bad loan decisions. And then we had, of course, 2001, the terrible thing that happened there. Each time after a recovery, you had a lot of businesses were forced to step back and look at who they were serving or look at what they were producing or who their potential customers were. The ones that succeeded are the ones who made what Kathleen was just saying, were willing to make the changes. We had literally, they were in the late 80s, through the mid 90s, we had literally thousands of hotels went bankrupt, much more so than this last time. Because, in fact, the business cycle generally corrected commercial loans, and so we didn't get caught the way we did back in 1988 or 89. You had literally major companies, Days Inn, Ramada, Howard Johnson, 8 or 10 other major brands all went into bankruptcy 2 and 3 times, not because they were bad people who ran the hotels or owned the brands. It was because they got over-leveraged. They didn't understand what they were doing. What your question about change or about who your customers are, if you don't constantly look at and recognize that your product hits what that need is, then you're going to miss it. The Ritz-Carlton, the Four Seasons, represents wonderful, beautiful. We have a handful of them here in the Valley. But it's 1% of the market, whereas the middle market represents that there's 60% of the brands that are in there, everyone you've ever heard of or stayed at. It's a matter of understanding not just what you prefer, it's what makes logical business sense, and then responding to it and making changes if you need to.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It's interesting about that, where people don't really think about this very often, and they just go out randomly trying to develop business, and that's sort of a waste of time, isn't it?
Oh.
A lot of waste of time.
And a lot of money and a lot of frustration, and when you look at the unemployment numbers, until enough businesses get logically comfortable that the government and the banks are not going to be doing negative things on them, we're going to continue, I think, in a period of negative adjustment for, I think, close to another year.
I expect that the stock market is going to go sideways, up and down, but sideways in direction over the next 10 years. It's going to be a while for us to recover. We can tell that just by looking at the housing market, which is still with the foreclosure rollouts that are affecting all of our market values. So there is always going to be change, and you have to respond to it.
And I would throw in part of that change is recognizing what, like you said, what you don't know. Upgrading your skill level. I mean, constant and continuous self-improvement's got to be first and foremost. Kathleen, you're jumping to answer that one.
Dave, I have to tell you how painful this process has been. As exciting as it is and as exhilarating as it is, there are huge learning curves. We have had to learn technologies, how to get the information in. Step one, step two, baby steps. Count on your fingers. You know, then you learn one, then you have to learn this, and then you have to learn that, because they're all going to play in one to the other. But you have to master it.
She's talking about building the website,
I'm talking about building the website, running the website, getting the tie-in to LinkedIn, to our blogs, to Facebook, to Twitter, to... It encompasses it all. That was not what we were thinking of when we thought of the concept of the business, but it is the nuts and bolts of what we have to do. So huge learning curve. I'm glad for my struggle because I know how to do it once I get through that learning curve, as painful as it is. And it's wonderful being a husband and wife team that we are able to do what the big boys can't quite do as easily.
Oh, nice. You get great joy in saying that, I can tell.
Yes, it levels the playing field, especially in a down economy when you're scrambling for what do we do now? You know, you can start a business. You've got more flexibility with the technology at our disposal and the internet using e-commerce. We can pinpoint and we can just reach so far beyond our geographic location. It's wonderful.
You know, it's interesting that what I'm taking from this is you just can't sit back, can you? A business that sits back is going backwards.
You either go forward or backwards. You don't stand still anymore.
Yeah.
Globally, the changes are happening so quickly. There's no choice.
And people get overwhelmed. That's why personal development, personal growth is so critical, to be able to know how to eliminate stress or handle stress, manage stress, whatever you want to call it, and to constantly realize that maybe your number one goal isn't money or certain external things, but to grow and reach your full potential.
Hospitality Educators for us is a passion. It is a stream of interest. It is a stream of income. But we want to provide service to – the more people we provide service to at very affordable rates, we'll be financially satisfied, but we'll get the satisfaction of meeting the needs of so many thousands of people on a regular basis, which is really is a very motivating factor for us.
In the world that we live in right now, perhaps it's always been true, but I find that we have to multitask so much that we have attention deficit disorder. We do not know how to focus. And let me tell you something, building this website, the learning curves that we're coming through, still coming through, requires us to, while we're multitasking, to take it one little segment at a time. Focus in on what's right before you, because you can be overwhelmed, to use your word, Dave, if you look at the big picture as much as you have to do.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and I think we only have like a minute or two left, two and a half minutes, and wow, I calculated that real quick. Okay, maybe I heard our producer say that. Okay, anyway, the cat's out of the bag. Let's get some contact information out, as well as anything you want to say about the website, hospitalityeducators.com. How do they get in touch with you? Is it just through the website? Is there a phone number? What do you have?
They can reach us through the website. They can contact John.Hogan at hospitalityeducators.com. They can email me at Kathleen@hospitalityeducators.com. They can call our phone number, 602-996-4858. Reach us most any time of the day. And see us on Facebook.
Yeah,
see
become
us
a
on
friend,
the web.
Right?
Well, you can also find us. You can put either of our names in on a Google search, and you'll find the biggest way we try to reach people and impact people is through our writings and our columns. And we literally, you'll find several hundred out there of information that we have shared, a lot of it free, and to try to go through and offer that service in advance. And then we're able to recover some of it now through the website.
So talk about marketing. This is good marketing, because when you write blogs or articles and your name keeps popping up, I mean, you will be known as the expert. With your background, you are the expert.
Well,
both of you.
Search engine optimization.
SEO, that's what it stands for. Yeah, people, if they're not learning that by now, wow, are they behind. So anyway, well, thank you both for coming here today to Breakthrough Thinking, the Bottom Line with Mitchell Spean. John and Kathleen Hogan. I thought of another Hogan, Ben Hogan. Are you a golfer?
I used to be.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I haven't been in a while.
Well, excellent. And stay tuned for the Green Roundtable, as I see Frank Lemeny seems to be massaging Glenn Gormley out there. I don't know why that is, but he really is. And again, John and Kathleen, thank you so much. Get to the website, hospitalityeducators.com, and we'll be right back at 3:00.
Thank you.